Hi everyone, this is Roger Yates. I'm a podcaster with on human non-human relations, but really I'm a boring old fart who wanted to be a DJ. I wanted to act like John Peel, put on a Liverpoolian accent and introduce songs. So I'm going to introduce a song. This one's by Justin Bieber, a track from way back in June 2010. Here we have the prestigious Bieber paired with the son of actor Will Smith to produce a classic hit. This has reverberated throughout the ages. It's a classic, folks, a real bells and whistles classic.
Under attack, gonna give everything I have. It's my destiny.
Michael, I couldn't say goodbye. I've made too many great friends from having a show. Plus, with the inevitable tidal wave of vegan shows from around the world, I need to fight the good fight for New Zealand. We need to maintain our title as most vegan podcasters per capita. Tourists come from around the world to visit historical sites of New Zealand's animal rights podcasting history. The microphone used for the first episode of NZ Vegan Podcast, which featured a sad Elizabeth, unsure if anyone would ever listen, beginning with a really enthusiastic intro.
Hi, my name is Knuckles, and I'm doing a podcast about veganism. I've been wanting to do something for a while, and didn't really know how to begin, or where to begin. So this is my attempt at doing a podcast. My story is, I am living in New Zealand, in Auckland, and I am trying to bring the abolitionist message down under. I'm sure it's already here.
They are the hardest people to get through. They're the most resistant people to the vegan message.
I don't know if anybody's ever going to listen to this podcast.
Oh, come on now, Elizabeth. There's always some random idiot stumbling about iTunes.
I have some really good news this week. Well, for myself, I am very excited that I got my first email. It's absolutely thrilling. It was a positive email. It was from a New Zealander who was a vegan. And I think that's what more could I ask for? I'm going to give a shout out to Jordan Wyatt.
Little did she know those first recordings would lead to NZ Vegan Inc., financially freeing her to podcast from the beaches of Samoa. Other attractions at the New Zealand Museum of Animal Rights Podcasting History include, of course, William Paul's MacBook Pro and an MP3 of Food for Thought Radio, where Sam dedicated a song to Emmy.
Next up, I'm going to be playing a little bit of Bryan Adams. The song's dedicated to Emmy. Everything I do it for you.
Into my eyes, you will see what you mean to me. Search your heart. Everything I do it for you.
You're so nice, Sam. I'm 23 and still learning about women. For example, before this song... It's a difficult concept to grasp, hence why RoboVoice 2.0 repeats herself so often, but I never knew they breathed, much as we do. Make sure you poke plenty of holes in the cardboard box, okay? Our economy relies on vegan shows. I needed to stop doing mine when it turned out most of the 5 people who listened weren't posting me blank checks like they were explicitly told. Don't worry though, now I've discovered how to hack into your credit card accounts, I'll be able to sustain the show for the near future. About the Bieber song, I think it's still Halloween in the United States, the only country that makes a holiday of young children beating up elderly women for not coughing up their candy bars. I've long despised that Justin Bieber guy, and no, it's not just because he can't understand New Zealand English.
Okay, Justin, Bieber, sorry, is German for basketball, true or false?
Is what?
Is German for basketball, true or false?
German?
German. Sorry, that's the Kiwi accent going on there. German, you know? German.
I don't know what that means.
German. German.
Is German for... I don't know what that means.
Okay,
we don't say that in America.
We'll move on.
I like basketball, if that's what you're asking me.
Yeah, why not? He likes basketball.
Yeah.
I've got a...
He'd been asked in some quiz if his surname meant basketball in the German language. Instead, that poor Canadian-born child seems to have been informed by US public school education that New Zealand, like the rest of the world, is full of no-good communist-slash-Taliban scumbags, that all the ex-Nazis fled to New Zealand, and that still-alive Hitler, aka Drew from the C4 Music Channel, had accused him of being a Jew-man. We don't say that in America, indeed. So he can't understand what the heck I'm saying now. I'm not going to lose any sleep. I don't like Justin Bieber because he calls himself JB.
Guess who? Jay Smith and JB.
Uh-huh.
I got you, little bro.
We all know there's two MJs. Michael Jordan made sport watchable. I loved watching that genetically engineered man-flea hybrid take off, fly over half the court and shatter the glass backboard. But we still knew the real MJ. No, there's only one real JB, although they were accompanied by And the JBs.
You're beautiful. You're beautiful. You're beautiful, it's true. I saw your face in a crowded place. You have been the one for me. Goodbye, my lover. Goodbye, my friend. You have been the one. You have been the one for me. I'm so hollow, baby. I'm so hollow. I'm so hollow. I'm so hollow, baby. I'm so hollow. I'm so
Ha, just kidding.
I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good. So good. I got you. Wow. I feel nice. A sugar and spice. Brother, we can't quit until we get our shit up.
without a woman or a girl.
Not to mention the most important drum sample in all of hip-hop.
When I count to four, I want everybody to lay out and let the drummer go. And when I count to four, I want you to come back in. It's in my collar. I got the holler. I said it's in my feet. Feels so sweet. It's in my shirt. Good God. About to wake me to death. It's in my shirt. You're about to work me to death. It's in my shirt. I walk the floor. I wanna walk the floor. One, two, three, four, get it. God. Ain't it funky?
And so, with the Yates load of bells thanks to a Jackson 5 song, I'm back on the airways, or, more accurately, taking advantage of archive.org's free servers, an AAC file that's... A Yates load, for those three nations not down with the metric system, is an internationally recognized measurement, although, it seems to be currently missing a Wikipedia entry. I've always been inspired by Anne Frank. How wonderful it is that nobody need wait a single moment before studying to improve the world. Or, as somebody infinitely more important saying, if you want to make the world a better place, that Wikipedia article make a change. In 1791... it was decided that from henceforth, the bell from the pilot episode of On-Human, Non-Human Relations would serve as global standard for bell volume, as evidenced in this MP3 file.
And I guess it's bad form really to start off with an in-joke, but I'm going to do it anyway. And there's the bell. There's the whistle. Okay, so that bit's over and done with.
Citation needed? Okay, see episode 35 of Coexisting with Non-Human Animals. Surely that's no different than when online articles reference those long extinct things called books, right? I think that's how you say it. What do you reckon, Alex?
I'd pronounce that archaic word, books, Jordan.
Ah, thanks, Alex. Okay. See page 3678 from this long out-of-print book. As if. These days, life is what you make of it, or what's on Wikipedia, whatever involves less effort. Anne Frank also said, according to historic document brainyquote.com, the final forming of a person's character lies in their own hands. I think that means we're meant to write our own Wikipedia pages too. Wyatt, widely renowned as evolution's gift to woman. Anyway... it's not the two vegan podcasters who wish they were a DJ duo putting on a cockney-slash-pissed-off-drunk Australian accent. I think we really have to discuss what it's actually meant to be before we make it big.
We're non-human poverty of ambition, representing a bleak futuristic wasteland. Clockwork Orange meets Once Were Warriors, combining classic rock and Jackson 5.
Each wearing matching Daft Punk-style robot outfits, Dr. Yates spinning vinyl, Master Wyatt mixing it up on an iPad, section. Although, that does sound commercially viable, sort of Mighty Boosh meets Flight of the Conchords, representing our respective origins. With Emmy James animating our videos, Elizabeth Collins as sound engineer extraordinaire, Sam Tucker promoting on his radio show?
Hi, I'm Randy Samberg. You can find me at vegansforpeace.org as well as quotesonslavery.org, and you're listening to Coexisting with Non-Human Animals.
I know the human being and fish can coexist peacefully.
Vegetarian.
Vegan.
Yeah,
let's get it right.
You used the word animals, but I suppose what you should have said is non-human animals.
If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself, then make a change.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Coexisting with Non-Human Animals. It's great to be back, and on World Vegan Day, New Zealand time no less. I hope to see plenty more videos and podcasts from around the world about all of your adventures. Me, I went to work as usual, with the Sam Tucker original on. Beef and Lamb, Be Twice as Cruel, a parody of a Beef and Lamb ad in New Zealand, with my Team Vegan athletic shirt over top. I walked home from work, past the milk processing factory to see the local butcher angrily throwing something red and slimy into his rubbish bins, and then a stock truck drove past. I came home, my chicken friends ran to meet me, and as soon as I sat down, all who could fit sat on my lap. I gave them all bread and they made me feel much better. What better way to celebrate World Vegan Day than in a Sam Tucker original, having a feast of bread buns with your chicken friends? I pity all those vegans instead having meals together in vegan restaurants overseas, but you're probably not even allowed to have chicken friends on the table, right? Pretty sad. I still get jealous of everyone living in a vegan wonderland. Although some parts of Australia are Southland-esque in their levels of veganism, just listen to the interview with Jeff and Renata on episode 20 of the Abolitionist Approach commentary. Other parts of the great land of Oz are brimming with animal rights, where it seems even the butchers, slapped as they may be, are vegan.
When I first realized, when I first woke up, I'd go to school and I'd sit with a group of 10 or 15 friends, and some of them would be eating their ham sandwiches, and I'd just go off at them. I would just, you can't do that. Like, why do you want to kill an animal? It's not fair. Why would you want to kill? Because just leave me alone. Just leave. And this went on for about 2 weeks. By the end of it, my friends didn't want anything to do with me. However, about 10 of those friends are now vegetarian, and about 3 or 4 of them are vegan. But I don't think that's an effective way to go about things. Like today, I went and spoke to my sister's philosophy class back at my old school, where I was like that really militant, aggressive person. And because my sister's also vegan. And her philosophy teacher saw me in the paper and said, oh, is this your brother? Wow. Like, get him to come in and talk to the class. Because the teacher's vegetarian and his partner's a vegan.
One of my teachers was a deer farmer who told one of the pretty but very unsmart girls that she should focus on being a prostitute when she grew up. I think it's great to have people with all possible twangs on the English language promoting animal rights. Surely someone out there understands my Southland accent. I've been in touch with a vegan from Gore. Hi, Kathleen. I recently had a fight with a dear friend. They had a long chain which lashed at my glazies, I with my cutthroat Britva, circling and jabbing until the Millicents arrived. I hope we can soon sort everything out over a nice cup of soy maloko chai after their bolshy great bazoomni and my boo-hoo-hoo. I'd like to be droogs again. I was feeling sorry for myself after this great lashings of chains, of stabbings with Britvas. When I went out to the backyard, I found Miss Henfriend dead. I'm not sure exactly what had happened to her, perhaps another attack by a cat, although I'm leaning towards her dying of an infection. She looked like some of her feathers had been torn out recently, but I couldn't see exactly where those feathers were. I'd had a hen die from an infection before, as they became paralyzed over the course of an hour, go into spasms and die. I was of course terribly upset, but was told that nothing could have been done. I find it hard to believe that nothing could be done, and feel that if I had not been inside, feeling terribly sorry for myself, nursing my chained eyeballs and bashed Gulliver, that I could have done something to have saved Miss Hen's life. I've seen many different ways of coping with the loss of a non-human. One example is talking about those who've passed away, be they human or chicken friend, and this is what I'd like to do. Some believe in an afterlife. As a proud atheist, I do not. I went to Catholic schools, I figured I was getting something extra over a non-religious school, and that I should know at least something about religion. The priests were always nice, and religion never tried to overwrite scientific truth. We had religious education teachers who taught us things like, perhaps when the big J-man is totally said to be all walking on water and stuff, maybe he was just a really cool swimmer, and back in them days people didn't swim much because the alligators and stuff. I decided to speak up about atheism more when I noticed the growing influence of youth churches in my city, of programs aimed at youth, which take in normal teenagers and churn them out saying things like, Jesus is my saviour is alive, on their short Facebook profiles. I think it sounds more than a little cultish, but whatever. Then, I saw that one of these groups had an Australian speaker on so-called intelligent design visiting, giving a presentation about how all that fancy pants science stuff was a waste of time, that everything in the world, God did it. I love so many things about America, but please guys, you can keep the religious pseudoscience. It really should be frowned upon to tell this kind of thing to young adults. A story about an afterlife, a heaven for so-called pet animals, is of The Rainbow Bridge. Here's one version of the poem, written in Comic Sans MS for extra credibility. Just this side of heaven is a place called Rainbow Bridge. When an animal dies that has been especially close to someone here, that pet goes to Rainbow Bridge. There are meadows and hills for all of our special friends so they can run and play together. There is plenty of food, water and sunshine, and our friends are warm and comfortable. All the animals who had been ill and old are restored to health and vigour. Those who were hurt or maimed are made whole and strong again, just as we remember them in our dreams of days and times gone by. The animals are happy and content, except for one small thing. They each miss someone very special to them, who had to be left behind. They all run and play together, but the day comes when one suddenly stops and looks into the distance. His bright eyes are intent, his eager body quivers. Suddenly he begins to run from the group, flying over the green grass, his legs carrying him faster and faster. You have been spotted, and when you and your special friend finally meet, you cling together in joyous reunion, never to be parted again. The happy kisses rain upon your face, your hands again caress the beloved head, and you look once more into the trusting eyes of your pet, so long gone from your life but never absent from your heart. Then you cross Rainbow Bridge together. Food is mentioned. I'm supposing that the unknown author of the poem was not vegan, so no doubt those ghost kitties and spirit doggies are living off canned chicken and cow corpses, processed by the great Temple Grandin designed slaughterhouse in the sky. This doesn't sound like a happy place for a gentle mother hen. And the idea of her awaiting the day I myself die? That's not Miss Hen. The worst she ever did to me, to anyone, was perhaps the handful of times I ever caught her lightly pecking the other hens, and I mean about 5 times over the years. Or when she snatched chewing gum from my mouth once, as documented in When Chickens Attack, Part 1, a short horror movie you can find at, I normally say bit.ly, bit.ly/chickensattack1, the number 1, bit.ly/chickensattack1. I'll link to it in my show notes. Even if there were a heaven, it doesn't sound like the place for Miss Hen. Her favourite spot in the world was always sitting on my lap, with the other chickens nearby, or perhaps also on my legs eating bread from my hand. I don't think she'd like to be on a fundamentally unstable blob of water vapour such as a cloud, just waiting to get sucked through a jet engine. They actually test aircraft safety by firing frozen birds at the intakes to test for bird strike. Another friend contacted a supposed medium about an animal who passed away. I've heard of these phony services before, where you basically wire $100 plus to their account, and through the magic of email, they claim to be able to filter out every other animal who's ever died, to have a crystal clear Skype call with your lost loved friend. These supposed shamans were covered in our national news. The woman who can talk to animals. She turned out to not be vegan, although she said something about the animal she ate having a good life from memory. I suppose she'd know, though, after their ghouls flowed over to her and thank her for buying their, quote, humanely slaughtered bodies, right? Oh, it was so painless being stunned in that Peter-approved method. We cows sure are lucky having Miss Grandin speaking out for us. What are the deceased pets meant to say to these mediums? The food in heaven is very nice, nice large portions, you know how my appetite was, and Jesus takes me for a big long walk each day. It's rather obvious that a hen's heart lies with others, her family and friends, and to be away from us all would be hell for her. I prefer knowing where she really is, buried beneath my favourite childhood climbing tree, a silver birch. I laid a daffodil beside her, and Mr. Rooster spent some time near her body before I filled in her grave. I wanted the other chickens to realise she hadn't gotten lost somewhere. They knew she was dead, of course. I found him beside her looking upset, and the hens, her little chicks, all grown up now. I don't think they were ever more than a couple metres apart in all their lives. They lived together, shared food, spoke to one another almost constantly. At night they'd cuddle together to share their body warmth. They loved each other. It really is that simple. To dream up anything other than what happened is an insult to who she was, my little hen friend. I blame myself for what happened. I feel as though there must have been something I could have done to make her better. Telling myself fairy tales won't change anything. I think I could learn a lot from how happy Miss Hen was in life. I need to start focusing on the positive things in my life, to focus on the things I have, rather than what I don't have. For example, my iMac may not be the absolute pinnacle of human achievement anymore. The new model looks, pretty much exactly the same, probably weighs exactly the same, is almost identical in every possible way, but Its i7 central processing unit option is a whole 130 MHz faster than the i7 option I had to put up with. And for just an extra 1500 New Zealand dollars, I could have had an SSD, solid state drive, which would cut boot up times in half and make iTunes load in 1 second instead of 1.5. Well worth the extra 1100 American bucks. Think of those wasted seconds. But some people out there are still slumming it on a G4, able to have a web browser open or Skype, never the twain shall meet. Or those who would love a MacBook Pro. Hey William, have you seen the new MacBook Air? Pretty sweet, huh? But unable to accept my pity, we pray for their non-existent souls. I'm lucky to have ever had a friend as lovely as Miss Hen, who would wait at the back door to see me each day after my work. I share videos of my little friends online, so that anyone in the world can share the joy and wonderment they give me. And I'm not joking, if my iPad can be magical, then chicken friends can absolutely be wonderful friends to us all. I've collected shed feathers from the chickens over time, that were left lying on the ground. I have quite a collection of yellow and orange from the lighter hens and Mr. Rooster, but few from Miss Hen, not many black feathers. I carry a couple with me in my wallet. You've got to put something in that giant fold where cash used to be, back before we used plastic to pay for everything. Although, being a first world nation, New Zealand banknotes are also made of plastic, I should point out. I like to show others, non-vegans, how lovely my little friends are, and the feathers serve as evidence of how soft and gentle they are on the outside. I have videos to show their personality. Having a physical feather in someone's hand helps to understand how special all animals are, including those who are normally seen as an ingredient, or at least I think so. I've long been especially upset about how we treat chickens in this world. Microwaves with the recommended cooking time for chickens' flesh, freezers with how long they can serve as an avian morgue, of ads for KFC that come on a few times each night with the slogan of "Can't beat that taste," something like that. "How would you like to eat that chicken, Billy? Oh, I'll have a piece of that." And calling people chicken as if it's a bad thing, when a mother hen would try without any chance of success to protect her eggs until her death. Of roosters who are some of the most vicious fighters around, and of bantam roosters in particular, who barely reach my ankle, who think nothing of darting at a 1.95 metre tall young man from a species who kill 49 billion of his kind each year, all in an attempt to keep the hens safe. I also find the idea of referring to animals as our family, not just as in evolution, fellow mammals or earthlings, instead meaning as in direct family, is very, odd. I've had some terrifying conversations with people, and they start talking to a cat like, "Don't worry, my fur baby, Mum is coming to get you your din-dins." Once I had a female friend refer to herself as a cat's mother, and then another male refer to himself as daddy to another animal. I tried to force a polite smile on my face, tried not to make eye contact with these mentally disturbed individuals, and slowly backed away. "These people are crazy," I told myself. "Wait, am I talking to myself? Their psychosis has spread to me!" I may not be a genius, and I can understand childbirth can be a confusing time, what with the epidural pain relief injections straight into a mother's spine, the hours of screaming and being told to push, for her to then yell at the doctor, "I am pushing!" and to then blame this on poor hubby. But seriously, if you go home from the hospital with a cat, I think there must have been a simple yet comical mix-up, don't you agree? That a hospital ward cat, we have those in New Zealand's socialist hospitals, along with dirt floors and death panels for when grandma gets close to 50, the cat must have been munching away on the placenta, somehow got bundled up, given to the proud and tired parents. I prefer seeing animals around me as my friends, which is actually better than being family. You get to choose your friends. Much better than knowing your farming relatives feel forced to put up with the black sheep of the family, the vegan. We all shift off this mortal coil eventually. I recently turned 23, and boy, do I feel old. I always knew I was on the more life-experienced side of vegan activists in New Zealand. I feel like I now have to pump out as many of these shows as I can while still around. For my birthday, I made sure to clear my schedule to spend the day alone with my chicken friends. I also make a point to feed some local ducks each year. I queued up a special song to be the first thing I'd hear at age 23. I grew up watching The Simpsons, and one thing that always bothered me about a certain episode, the one with Michael Jackson. Okay, so it's actually MJ doing the speaking voice for the huge white character, but then when the character sings, that's not Michael Jackson. The rumour has always been that his recording contract wouldn't allow him to make, quote, an appearance elsewhere, or that Michael wanted to confuse people so they wouldn't be sure who was actually the voice of the character. I'm not sure, For whatever reason, it's not MJ singing, it's some impersonator, and it's not at all alike. Here's the great big phony.
What, Bart? It's 6 a.m.
That's right. Hope you like your present. And a one, and a two, and a one, two, three, four.
Lisa, it's your birthday. God bless you this day. You gave me the gift of a little sister, and I'm proud of you today.
Please, don't disrespect me with that imposter. Even at a very young age, I was a level 5 Jacksonologist. I recently discovered an actual version, with Michael Jackson really singing the song, dedicated to a young girl on her birthday. It's almost priceless to me to hear how the song, written by MJ, should have been. It's like I had a missing piece all these years, and this true version of the song made me whole again.
Lisa, it's your birthday. God bless you this way.
What more could a male 23-year-old ask for than a song written about a fictional yellow-skinned little girl having a birthday? I'll take the praise and joy, thank you. You shouldn't have. But while being for homosexual rights, I'll pass on the first kiss from a boy. You can re-gift that if you'd like. I'm glad to be back podcasting. I realise that some people get out there and do stuff to help animals, no matter if they're in the Australian outback. Others whine about being the only vegan in the village, a la Little Britain. And need to stay cooped up with their chicken friends, passing proclamations forth on what everyone else should do. I'd like to think I'm starting to get more active in person, though. I make sure to have plenty of resources with me at all times. I have many useful images and videos on my iPhone, ready to be explained to anyone interested, and I'm slowly turning some friends onto veganism, just by promoting actual veganism. Perhaps a more talented activist could be like aluminium oxide, say, a vegan influence planting vegan seeds into reactive minds in about 100 picoseconds, say. Or you get your money back. I can't work that way. I'm more like a rust, not really noticeable, but then one day you turn around and BAM! I've corroded away your objections, built up a dull, flaky coating of respect towards animals, causing the suffix friend to attach itself to every animal name you utter like brown dust, not to mention making off with your wallet, leaving you to curse, "No, why did I not rust-proof my feelings towards animals?" I also have a lot of veganism-promoting clothing on the way, mostly from Herbivore Clothing. I like the two-badge set of an elephant saying, "I'm vegan and I love you." It's so very masculine. I think it would look great on my work overalls. I'm also trying to apply pressure to many other vegans to have podcasts of their own. If I can do it, mainly as a vehicle to tell others what to do and talk about chickens, then anyone can. It costs nothing and it's nice to hear friends of animal rights activists from around the world. Hosting a podcast is not about showing off, but showing up. And what's the worst thing that can happen? That someone could, what, mock you around their friends? "Hey, listen to this douchebag talk about his precious chicken friends. Bah ha ha." It's nothing to be worried about. There's nothing I can do about it. And I've actually never had negative feedback. If I had, why would I care? An email or tweet is just bits and bytes, pixels on a screen. What others say can't hurt you, and I'd only need to spend a second with my chicken friends, who are indeed precious, to feel on top of the world again. We don't often feel that way, living down here, clinging desperately to the underside of this planet. It'd be nice to be on top of the world, looking down on natural evolution. The only explanation that can be searched for is that the happiness others provide, that's the thing that's put you atop this big old ball of dirt. I'd love to see branded items from my favourite blogs and podcasts through Cafe Press, Zazzle, etc. I think NZ Vegan Podcast canvas bags would be excellent. And what kind of monster could pass on a Veganacious logo t-shirt? I'd heard rumours of a grassroots campaign to have a unique quotesonslavery.org reading on each of my episodes, read by Randy Sandberg himself, not to mention for more bells and whistles on the Abolitionist Approach commentary podcast. I've uploaded the last video I have of Miss Hen alive. She looks calm and peaceful, the picture of health. She's seen sleeping in a green plastic bucket filled with earth, where she'd been taking a dust bath on a lovely hot Southland day. I often worried about her, having such a thick coating of black feathers. I'd pay special attention that she drank more water than normal, and tried to encourage them all to stay out of the sun. In the final video, we see her casually watch me, with one orange eye. I think you can tell from her behaviour that she felt safe with me so close by. She'd open one eye as Mr. Rooster made different noises to see what he was talking about. She wasn't startled though, she was at rest. You can find this last video at bit.ly/sleepinghen. bit.ly/sleepinghen. And of course I'll link to that in my show notes and it's on my YouTube channel. My username is jwon'tdart, like everywhere. I have many different photos and HD videos of Miss Hen. It's rather uncanny. I still think of her each day, and there she is, perhaps larger than life on the screen of my 27-inch iMac. She looks real, as if I could touch her. I know that statistically, she is no different to any of the 49 billion odd chickens killed annually, according to the UNFOA 2007 statistics, and she remains part of my motivation in promoting veganism. Myself? I couldn't promote anything less than veganism, anything less than what I actually engage in myself. To do anything else would be lying. I know that Miss Hen wouldn't want us to spend our time asking for larger cages, or if we could ask for chickens' beaks to be cut off in a, quote, more humane fashion. There really is no such thing as welfare or humane when it comes to how we treat animals, unless of course we're talking about how we would also treat other humans. I feel very strongly about this issue. Since I spend so much of my time with chickens, this is not an idea or a belief for me, it's their lives. The least we can do for non-human animals is to not hurt them, to not kill them, to recognize them as individuals like you or I, to recognize them as our friends. To finish off, the guy who wanted to be a DJ but realizing he had no sense of rhythm, who was in fact more suited to chopping and sanding wood section of the show, I have a song to share. I heard this track and really enjoyed it, although I initially thought, oh yeah, another coked out Eurotrash pop electronic artist to have one hit to be pulled back into Europa from whence she came. Then, I noticed she was a New Zealander. All right. Her name is apparently Zoe. I have some younger friends who claim to love David Bowie. They say Bowie, it's Bowie, right? These are the same friends who claim to have just noticed that, quote, audio tune thing, and scream, OMG, like, this is totally my song, LMFAO, every 3 minutes in a nightclub. It's interesting that two of my vegan friends have a heart how would we say it these days? Differently abled heart. The all-informative Wikipedia page, with scientific facts that could never be quickly edited, the given population having, what the liberal elite call, mitral valve prolapse. Sam's not the only one who can dedicate songs. This track shows how nerdy guys who can reformat a hard drive get all the ladies. I'd like to dedicate this New Zealand pop song to all the people worldwide, including two of my 5 listeners with Crazy Heart Syndrome. Happy World Vegan Day, and thank you all for listening.
Oh, you never ever not please me. You want me up when I'm freezing. Are you the one for me? You fix my broken machine.